Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bowman, the executive editor of TravelPulse.com. Travel mostly comes down to two simple things, a FOMO bucket list and financing it. Am I right? This is why TravelInsured.com is travel protection that can help with those big trip decisions. You'll love how customizable the coverage is, which helps manage what you can't control from departure to arrival. Get going with an easy online quote, and depending on the plan and availability, upgrade with the cancel for any reason add-on benefit for an extra cost. The best part is, with protection that meets the moment, it's easy to say yes to new adventures at TravelInsured.com. What's up, everyone? Today is Tuesday, April 16th. Happy Travel Tuesday out there, and happy National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day, which, you know, for many of us that work from home is pretty much every day, if we're going to be honest. Let's not kid ourselves, right? Anyway, we got a fun show for you today. We'll be talking big travel news, as always, and diving into some wellness travel. You can contact us at podcast@travelpulse.com. I'd love to hear from you out there. And we also have a hotline for the show. You can call in and leave a message if you'd like. 201-381-3017 is the Travel Pulse podcast number. And if you could, leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. I would greatly appreciate it. And joining me on the show later today is Allie Krupnik, Chief Wellness Officer and founder of MyWellCo. We'll be chatting about the wellness travel trends in the space today and why it's so important. But first, as we do for every episode, in case this is your first time listening to the Travel Pulse podcast here, we're going to dive into what's been trending in the world of travel in the last week. And we begin with Iran's entry into the Gulf is complicating travel out there in the Middle East. Travel advisories were issued and flights were temporarily halted out there, but Israel, Jordan, Iraq, and Lebanon reopened their airspaces on Sunday, but many carriers are still hesitant to travel through the region, understandably so. For U.S. airlines, though, United Airlines was the only one operating flights to Israel prior to this new attack. They had resumed operations back in March, with Delta and American taking their time. Delta is actually scheduled to resume Israel service in June, but TBD on all of that and what's going to happen there with this new stuff. But the Israeli flag carrier El Al is still continuing service to the U.S., offering full vouchers so that, quote, passengers can make a comfortable decision for themselves and their families, and they can visit Israel at a time that is more convenient for them, end quote. So Israel is labeled as a level 3 reconsider travel along with the West Bank, and then Gaza is a level 4 do not travel. Jordan nearby, level 2, and Lebanon is a level 3. So should you visit the Middle East right now? You know, that is up to you. Would I? Yeah, I would go to Israel right now. I would never been to Israel. I would still love to see Jerusalem. That is definitely on the bucket list right now, given the opportunity. Yeah, my wife would say no to that and not want me to go, obviously, but I would still go. And I know many people out there who still would go as well. We just had a writer of ours, Claudia Covey, who went to Israel just before this attack happened. She got back about a week before it happened and is working on some content. And now we've had to kind of switch that stuff around given what's happened. But she said she would still go back. So take that as you will. I don't think you should. This should stop you from traveling to Jordan. If you've always wanted to visit Petra, get out there. If you've always wanted to visit Egypt and the pyramids, get out there. Go. You know, obviously, don't go to Gaza right now. Those are maybe stay away zones right now. But if you're thinking about Israel, you know, work with a travel advisor, get your travel insurance, make sure you're covered for the utmost of things. If that's really what you want to do, write this now, go for it. If not, you know, if you're hesitant, as you understandably can be, then don't. To each their own, right? So now we jump over to airline news and the air travel space. Travel advisor groups around the world are sounding the alarm over American Airlines' new sales strategy. Starting May 1st, American will no longer give mileage rewards to passengers unless they book directly with the carrier or through its preferred channels. These advisor organizations from around the world, including ASTA, they believe that this will result in reduced consumer choice and higher airfares down the road. And I'm with them. American Airlines, too much faith in thinking the consumer is going to your website and going to book direct. Maybe some. Yeah, I already do that. Do you think more are going to do that? I don't know about that. When you look at the facts here, we've got more than $95.3 billion in airline tickets were sold by travel advisors and online agencies last year. That's about 40% of all airline tickets out there. Business and leisure travelers, and even some government flyers out there, they depend on travel advisors for many services beyond ticket purchasing. So if you book flights with a travel agency or you're even an online travel agency, you could lose your right to earn miles with American Airlines here once they make this switch. So I think it's a dumb move, American Airlines. Don't know what you're doing on this, which thinks, you know, money is what you're thinking, obviously. But if you're a frequent flyer with American Airlines, or your clients are and you're on that, head over to savemymiles.com to take action. Shout out to Asta for that one there. And nobody wants higher airfares, right? Or missed mileage rewards. We want our loyalty points, people, right? Speaking of airfares, how are those airfares trending ahead of the peak summer travel season as we get closer and closer to summertime, the unofficial summertime of May, let's be real. Obviously, the first days of summer, not till June, but, you know, once school is out in most places around the country, we tend to switch to summer brain. So looking at the March data, though, and spring stuff, what's been happening, average airfares are 7% cheaper than a year ago. According to Going, though, you've got to take in account for inflation. And they did that, and they dropped a release and had information on that about airfare in March being 10% cheaper than this time last year when you factor in inflation, and 15% cheaper compared to 5 years ago, and a whopping 33% cheaper than a decade ago. And according to them, they say we are living in the golden age of cheap flights. And whoo-wee, you gotta love it. Yes, I'm for that. Cheap flights, all right. Yeah, always remember to book your flights early, though, so you can get a better deals on that. In other airline news, we've got information on the top airports around the world for food and beverage. Food and drink, we love that here on the podcast. So the 2024 Global Tastemakers, the panel of food and travel experts, they name their faves for food and drink on the airports around the world. Number one, Singapore's Changi Airport, Tokyo Narita coming in at two. And then you've got Dubai, Heathrow in London, Istanbul, you got Amsterdam after that, JFK in New York, Hartsfield-Jackson, Atlanta, here in the south, my home airport, San Francisco at 9, and then Vancouver at 10. So a good spread around the world here. A lot of great food options at all of these. I mean, even just saying the destinations that it's in, you know those are great food cities. You know, obviously I'm biased here from my hometown of Atlanta, so I think Hartsfield-Jackson has a number of great eateries. That said, do I get probably the same three things every time I go there? Yes, but I am a creature of habit, and this is what I do. And what I love with food. But hey, what's your favorite airport out there? podcast@travelpulse.com. I'd love to hear from you on your favorite foods when you are out traveling and eating. One flew south, yes. Atlanta Airport. Chicken and beer. Ludacris' restaurant. Yes, I could go on and on. As we wrap up here on what's been trending, though, we've got to dive into one of the weirdest, funnest, coolest things. I don't know. It was out there and I loved it. So I'm here talking about it now. Bark Air. It's a real thing. It was not an April Fool's joke, not a delayed April Fool's thing here. It's happening. A new airline designed for dogs is going to launch May 23rd. It's essentially private air travel for your pet. Dogs will be pampered indeed with calming treats, noise-canceling earmuffs, and calming jackets to ensure a stress-free and enjoyable flight. However, this startup flight schedule here is a bit limited for the time being. I mean, they're just launching, so Bark flights are going to be available from New York City via the Westchester County Airport to Los Angeles, or from New York to London, England. So that's where we're going to start out. And your average ticket price is $6,000. Each dog ticket includes a pass for one human, cost-free. However, if you want to bring more than one human on the flight, you'll have to pay for an additional pass, and no kids under 18 are allowed on the plane. And this is fun. I think it's cool. You know, Bark Air, it's a great name. I loved the little commercial ad that they put together. I love dogs, and I think this is great, but this is only for the big spenders out there. You know, this is for the affluent, the opulent, the I got so much money, I don't know what to do with it, aka the ones who see a $6,000 price tag as only $600 or $60 or even $6. And we know there are people out there who see $6,000 as probably 6 cents to be rich. What do you think of this and any of the other top news out there? podcast@travelpulse.com is the email. Love to hear from you. That wraps up what is trending in travel. Let's jump over to our interview segment of the show now on wellness travel. One thing I pack before heading off? A plan to protect my big travel decisions. That's why travelinsured.com is travel protection that makes sense. It helps manage what you can't control from departure to arrival. The cost of a canceled cruise, a delayed flight, even getting sick or hurt. They're here so you can meet the moment there. The best part? You can hack your next getaway in seconds with a quick online quote and get next day coverage. It's easy to say yes to new adventures at travelinsured.com. And now joining me on the podcast is Allie Krupnik, Chief Wellness Officer and founder of MyWellCo. Welcome to the show, Allie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, looking forward to chatting wellness travel. So tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I have been in the events and hospitality space and working with luxury hospitality brands for about 15 years now. But I started my company during COVID as a pivot when I just hit a complete wall of burnout from the corporate grind. And I really wanted to find a way to blend my all three passions of travel, hospitality, and wellness. And that's kind of how my company was born. So I started it really with a mission to support healthier business travel and bring trend-driven, innovative wellness experiences to the industry, and consult brands on how to make luxury hospitality and events overall healthier.
That's great. Yeah, we all could use a little bit more wellness in our lives, that's for sure. And you mentioned the pandemic, so we're going to roll right into the questions here. How did the pandemic really transform the wellness travel space? You know, how have things really changed in recent years? And is there anything that you change-wise would like to see in the industry?
Yeah, totally. I think there were a ton of changes. And I think it was really like an eye-opening experience for the industry. I think what we've seen is that wellness travel has definitely trended upwards and is just continuing to skyrocket. I think that people realize that time is a really important asset and that wellness is no longer like a nice to have, but it's a must. And it's something that the industry really needs to look at as a competitive advantage and something that the luxury lifestyle guest and traveler is wanting. And they're way more wellness conscious and they're choosing experiences that align with their values and their mental and physical health. I think that people are traveling slower. I think that the slow travel trend is going to kind of continue. It's big for 2024, and I think it will continue to evolve. And I think too, just like overall with business travel and traveling in that way, that carbon footprint is something that people are now really focusing on, cutting back due to, you know, burnout of too much travel and just being like, okay, if we're going to travel and send our teams to travel, like how do we do that intentionally for themselves in a way that's not burning them out, as well as supporting the environment and carbon footprint in that regard. And I think there's definitely some room for improvement still. I think some changes that I would like to see is, one, in the food and beverage space, I think that I would love to see more elevated non-alcoholic cocktail offerings on the menu, because I think that that's something that consumers are really craving.
Yeah, it's definitely on the rise.
Want to just... Yeah. People want to feel good and they want to have the option to switch to something non-alcoholic if they can. I think that also bedding upgrades and sleep. I think a long time ago with like the Heavenly Bed in Westin was such a big hit, but there really hasn't been much innovation and branding of that beyond. And I think sleep is just a really important aspect of travel. I think there's an area of opportunity there. And superfood, coffees, matchas, food and beverage, transparency within food. I think all of that is something that travelers are kind of like looking for in their outlets as well.
Definitely, yes. Food is key, is essential to life, as is sleep. Yeah. So, you know, when the pandemic happened, you know, that long pause really made a lot of people reflect on, you know, what's the purpose of my travel, as you mentioned. And I think when it comes to wellness, we've seen, you know, a bigger rise in that sector of things and just discussing it more, talking about it, trying to be innovative in different ways to grow that and, you know, make it be more mindful for the travelers out there that, you know, wellness is key and it's essential. So I think a lot can lean to the food and beverage side, but, you know, I think a lot of people, you hear wellness and you just think yoga right away, but it is really more than that. And you've kind of, you know, touched on and expanded on that. So what else do you see as trending in the space?
Yeah, I think to your point about just kind of people thinking that yoga, I think that right now what's trending in wellness travel is this concept of secondary wellness. So it's not the wellness of like, okay, I'm going to a dedicated wellness retreat. I'm going to be on a strict regimen for 7 days. It's this concept of secondary wellness where travelers are looking for opportunities to connect and have a sense of place within their existing travel plan. So it's not that they have to go to a shaman and sit in a cave and meditate for a week. If they can go to Hawaii or they can go to Japan, and how do they find wellness elements within their travels? And that's kind of like where it's going. Also, the idea of like pilgrimage and slow travel, I think these like off the grid, connecting with nature's multi-day hiking with like a spiritual twist, that is kind of like a really big trend in the travel industry, where people are just really wanting to further connect with themselves, the places that are they're inviting to, as well as like solo travel, silent travel. They kind of all go hand in hand, where people are really just wanting to reconnect.
Yeah, that off the grid thing. I got to jump in here.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could ever do that, honestly. I love being plugged in too much, but I know that there are so many benefits with being unplugged. And like I've done, you know, unplug moments, I guess, inside vacations or trips like that. But to fully commit to off the grid, I commend anyone who's going to do that, because that, yeah, I imagine that, you know, it would do a lot for my wellness for sure. But it sounds like maybe I'm trying to talk myself into getting into off the grid trip, but I just don't know that I could do it. I got to be plugged in so much. I'm sure that some of the listeners are like that, but kudos to anyone who can do that.
Yeah. And I think too, it's not necessarily like the idea of being that the entire trip. I think it's like looking at places and destinations that are a little more like off the grid. And then there's finding elements where you're maybe taking a 3-4 hour hike and you're disconnecting without service, like elements within that, not necessarily like going off the grid completely. We're like, hey, I can't, no service, can't reach me for 7 days. I think that's like super unrealistic, but it's finding like different ways to connect and be more intentional. And definitely that like spirituality aspect too.
Definitely going to apply that a little bit more to my next trip a month from today. Actually, I leave for the beach, so this will be replaying in the mind. Yes, indeed. So you talk about destinations. Yeah. You mentioned, you know, said the word destination. So let's jump right into to some of that. What's trending in the space, both U.S. and internationally, for wellness travel? What's some of the best known, and what's sort of kind of up and coming? I'd love to discuss.
Yeah, sure. I think I just got back actually from a wellness resort in Orlando, which is a very strange place for this. And it was open maybe about like 2 years ago. But it was really, it really put Orlando on the map now as being this area called Lake Nona. And it's a blue zone sort of community. So it's one of those by, he's taking the aspects of the blue zones and implementing into this like live residence and community. So there's so much happening in terms of like nature and walking and bike riding, but they have wellness tech rooms where there's AI bedding with this like $8,000 mattress that tracks how you're sleeping. They have window lighting that tracks your, that automatically changes based on your circadian rhythm and kind of like throughout the day. And they have like Fountain Life, which is a longevity center we can get access to. And they have 2 Michelin recommended restaurants with really like farm to table, really high quality food. So that was kind of a very pleasant surprise of a place of like, oh, okay, yeah, this can be like a wellness destination within itself. So that was really interesting. But there's a couple new openings of really great wellness resorts and properties. There's the One Hotel Hawaii that's on Kauai. As we know, One Hotel is very much rooted in sustainability and wellness. So that was that's a really great one to check out. The Ranch in Hudson Valley just opened, which is right outside of New York. And kind of like the objective there is as a little getaway for people who are working in Manhattan and want somewhere to unplug over the weekend. It's pretty approachable, not too far. But the Ranch has a really great track record in the industry. And Kyoto, there's actually a couple new places that are opening up. There's a Six Senses, there's a Banyan Tree, both in Kyoto. So I think Kyoto in Japan is going to be a spot that people are fleeting to, as well as Saudi Arabia and the UAE. I think that the deserts there are really beautiful and just lend themselves to this like natural connection. So there's a Ritz-Carlton Reserve that's opening up on the Red Sea in Saudi Arabia next year. And it's on my list for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that should be a destination that should be on everyone's to check it out. If you want to see the world, you know, don't knock it off. Because they're doing a lot over there in Saudi. And you mentioned Hawaii. That was, you know, when I was typing up these questions, like, we're going to talk about wellness. Like, I'm sure we'll mention Hawaii because I feel like that just leans itself, you know, as far as U.S. destination wise for a lot of our American traveler, anyone listening in the U.S., just everything about it. I've only been once, but it's just, I got to get back more. And I really felt the most, you know, wellness-based travel experience I really had. And I think the destination helped with that more so than other places I've traveled, I've noticed.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, it doesn't have to try too hard. It just kind of, it's there in the air.
For sure, which is, yeah, very powerful in itself for a destination to have as a selling point, really.
Yeah, totally.
So as we wrap up here on the podcast, what would be your advice to our travel listeners out there for travel advisors who want to sell more travel, travel suppliers who need to input more wellness into their space? Love to hear.
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway and tip is for travel advisors is that just think a little bit more outside the box. I think if someone's coming to you looking for wellness-related travel, instead of defaulting to those like yoga retreats, it's how can you just take a different approach to it and find wellness within that's not just a retreat. So I think if we're just thinking about, you know, access to nature, ample movement, you know, good quality sleep, and some healthy food options, you can really find that in so many places. And it doesn't have to be this like dedicated wellness retreat, because there's so much more than just yoga and just getting people to connect to their places that they're traveling to is really rejuvenating in itself.
Absolutely. And any closing comments you want to make here? Anything you want to self-plug? Fire away.
Oh, sure. I mean, if anyone wants to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at mywellco. I'm always happy to give tips and recommendations and further the conversation.
Excellent. Thanks so much. I really appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule to talk wellness travel here, Allie.
Thanks, Eric. I really appreciate it.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have for this week's episode on the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week to talk some travel insurance, which is definitely important in today's travel world. So thanks for listening. Have a great week.